Today we have Alicia Guerra. She is our Deputy General Counsel in the statewide office. She has her JD and her MSW, which is a great perspective for all of us. Today she's talking about paternity and dependency. And with that, I will let her start.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. As was said, today's training topic is parentage and dependency court. Claudia, can you turn down your volume? I can hear myself through the wall.
Yes, ma'am, I'll do that.
All right, so today's training topic is parentage and dependency court. We continue to see issues with identifying parents and with questions of how to handle issues of disputed paternity, both in situations where parentage has been established by law and situations where there is no legal presumption establishing parentage, and so then what are the legal remedies to establish parentage in those situations? First, we have to distinguish what we mean by parentage versus what we mean by paternity. Justice Alton Burns, in his 1999 Law Review article on quasi-marital children, explained the word father is a non-specific term which refers to numerous situations of functional and legal fatherhood, examples of which are genetic fathers who acted as sperm donors, marital fathers who were married to the mother at the time of the child's conception or birth, biological fathers who were not the mother's husband when the child was conceived or born, and functional fathers who have no legal or biological relationship but who provide support and nurturing for the child. He went on to explain that paternity, then, is the determination of biological fatherhood, whereas parentage is the determination of the rights and responsibilities of legal fatherhood. Parentage may not be based on biological paternity. Paternity is determined via human Likert testing. Parentage is established either by legal presumptions or adjudication in a court proceeding. In Florida, though, paternity may also be established by voluntary acknowledgement of both parents in situations where paternity was not already established by law. Further, a scientific determination of biological paternity or even a legal finding of fact as to the biological paternity in and of themselves do not create or establish parentage. That's something that you can read about in Shuler v. Great Lytton Program at 17 Southern 3rd, 333. So, establishing parentage. Let's move on there. Under common law, there was no right to establish paternity or parentage via a cause of action. Such actions are purely statutory. Rather, under common law, parentage of children born to a marriage or children born to a mother who marries the reputed father is established by the presumption of legitimacy. The presumption of legitimacy is now also codified in Florida law at 382.0132 states that the husband is the presumed father and the legal father, and his name is required to be recorded as the father of the child on the birth certificate within 5 days of the birth, unless there is a court order providing otherwise. That would require someone filing one of those actions to establish paternity before the birth of the child and prevailing on it. Furthermore, under 742.091, if the mother or reputed father of the child who was born out of wedlock marry at any time after the birth, the child shall be deemed and held out as a child of the marriage. Now, the presumption of legitimacy is well known as the common law presumption that a child born to a marriage is a child of the marriage, and the husband is the father of the child. It establishes legal fatherhood in the husband of the mother to the exclusion of all others. It is a presumption that historically was practically impossible to defeat. It is based on the public policy protecting the child and advancing the child's best interests. case law is replete with case law. It's all over case law. You will find claims of men proven beyond all doubt to be the biological father to have been defeated by the presumption of legitimacy. As stated before, actions to establish parentage are purely statutory. Florida enacted Chapter 742 providing such a cause of action. Under 742.10, where parentage has not been established by law or otherwise, the following three persons are the only ones authorized to file suit to establish parentage. First, a woman who has a child or who is pregnant. Second, a man who believes he is the father of a child. And third, the child herself. 742.10 also vests the trial court with primary jurisdiction and provides procedures for determining paternity for children not born to a marriage. 742 also establishes paternity via uncontested voluntary acknowledgement and refers you to the vital statistic statute. This acknowledgement must be executed by both the mother and the individual to be named as the father. The acknowledgement must be made under oath, and both the mother and the man to be named. Must provide their social security numbers in the acknowledgement. Furthermore, the acknowledgement must be signed by two witnesses and notarized. The acknowledgement is executed under penalty of perjury under Chapter 92.525. Valid execution, as was just described, creates a rebuttable presumption of paternity and can only be rescinded within 60 days from the date of signing unless there is a judicial or administrative order on paternity entered within the 60 days of the acknowledgement deciding the matter on paternity. When a child is born and the mother and reputed father are deciding to execute the acknowledgement, the hospital is required to educate the mother and reputed father. They're required to educate orally or through the use of video or audio equipment and in writing. This education is regarding the legal consequences and the rights which are brought by signing the voluntary acknowledgement. The hospital further has to provide information from the Department of Revenue, which is our Title IV-D agency. Without any doubt, when a mother and a man to be named on the birth certificate execute under oath their signed witness affidavits attesting to paternity, this voluntary establishment of paternity is done after full disclosure of the legal consequences and the alternatives and under penalty of perjury. Consequently, where a child is born to a married woman and the child's birth certificate indicates someone other than her husband as the father, the birth certificate is void because it was obtained fraudulently. You can read that holding in SDBDH at 736 7 2nd 766. SB held it was error as a matter of law for the biological father's name to be placed on a child's birth certificate, as Florida statutes require the husband to be named on the birth certificate. Additionally, Chapter 742 vests the Department of Revenue with authority to file administrative proceedings for paternity under Section 409.256 due to the state's compelling interest in children living free of poverty and public welfare. So they're filing these proceedings to establish paternity as part of a child support action. In administrative and judicial proceedings authorized under 742, evidence of biological paternity may be sought and admitted into evidence. This is the authority is given in 742.12 Florida statute. Moreover, contested paternity proceedings and all issues arising out of them have to be decided by a circuit court judge. Bernardo v. Department of Revenue at 819 Southern 2nd 161 found that contested paternity could not be decided by a hearing officer, and all adjudications of paternity must be by clear and convincing evidence. The Department of Revenue is the only executive branch agency the Florida legislature has authorized to commence paternity action. In granting the Department of Revenue this authority, the legislature limited its scope. The statutes provide the Department of Revenue may commence a paternity proceeding or a paternity and child support proceeding as provided in Chapter 409.256 if, 1, the child's paternity has not been established, 2, no one is named as the father on the child's birth certificate, or the person named as a father is the putative father named in an affidavit or written declaration. 3, the child's mother was unmarried when the child was conceived and born. 4, the department is providing services under Title 4D. 5, the child's mother or putative father has stated under oath and penalty of perjury in an affidavit or written declaration that the putative father is or may be the child's biological father. So those are the limited circumstances where DOR can bring the suit to establish parentage and, incidentally, paternity. This chapter goes on to provide authority to compel participation in paternity testing. It provides authority for sanctions for failing to submit to paternity testing and procedures for contesting the order to submit to testing, as well as procedures to challenge the results of the paternity testing. Evidence of the department's limited scope to bring paternity proceedings or parentage proceedings is found in Department of Health and Rehabilitative Services versus PREVET. No discussion on paternity is complete without talking about PREVET. So in PREVET, the Florida Supreme Court found the state's authority to establish paternity, dramatic pause, in an action to establish child support does not outweigh the future interests of the subject child or the sanctity of legally established family relationships. At the time PREVET was litigated, the Department of Health and Rehabilitative Services was the agency charged with recouping state monies expended on behalf of children benefiting from TANF cash assistance, or Title 4D. This was done under 409.2561 Florida statute. In PREVET, the DHRS filed an action to establish paternity after having the mother execute an affidavit and complaint stating that she was not married at the time of birth or conception. Since PREVET was rendered, Section 409.2561 has been amended and Section 409.256 enacted, and the Department of Revenue has taken the place of the Department of Health and Rehabilitative Services. PREVET held the child's best interest as the primary issue in these proceedings, and the state's interest in establishing paternity does not become compelling until it establishes an adequate factual basis and shows the child's best interest will be served by paternity testing. Now that we know how to establish parentage generally, let's look at how to disestablish parentage legally. Disestablishing paternity at common law was quite difficult. Under common law, only a husband could bring an action to impugn a child's legitimacy. In such an action, his burden was to prove he was impotent or he did not have access to his wife during the time of conception. And neither he nor the wife were permitted to testify in the suit regarding the husband's access to his wife. So these suits were difficult to win as additional evidence that the husband was away had to be presented at trial. So what common law, what cause of action then does a biological father have when he fathers a child who is born to a married woman? Well, a child does not have two fathers, and it is against public policy to rebut a presumption of legitimacy unless it is in the best interest of the child to do so. If a favorable rebuttal is possible, then the appropriate procedure for a putative father trying to attack his biological child's legitimacy and assume her legal father's parental rights is to file a petition to establish paternity pursuant to the Florida State Constitution, appropriate procedure for a putative father trying to attack his biological child's legitimacy and assume her legal father's parental rights. It's to file a petition to establish paternity pursuant to the Florida State Constitution's due process clause. I need someone to mute their phone. In such a claim, the prospective father as petitioner has the burden of proving the legal father has abused, abandoned, or neglected the child, and the child's manifest best interest will be better served by severing the legal father's parental rights and establishing those rights in the prospective father. The burden of proof is by clear and convincing evidence. A guardian ad litem must be appointed to represent the child, and the legal father is an indispensable party. This action must be brought prior to the termination of the legal father's parental rights. This authority and very limited cause of action is explained in the following line of cases. You can read about them in Shuler v. Guardian Ad Litem Program, 17 Southern 3rd, 333, Department of Health and Rehabilitative Services versus Prevet, 617 Southern 2nd, 305, GFC versus SG and SG, 686 Southern 2nd, 1382, and Fernandez v. Fernandez, 857 Southern 2nd, 997. There are other cases which give examples of situations where applying the presumption is detrimental to the child. It's flagrant and deplorable and all those wonderful, ripe words which offend the district courts of appeal and says the trial court, you need to consider the situation. However, it's GFC and Fernandez which explain to us what the cause of action is and the procedure for a biological father who is trying to step into the shoes of the child's legal father, thereby terminating his parental rights and establishing those rights in himself. In GFC, the putative father filed an action for paternity under Chapter 742, where the child was born while the husband and mother were living together. So there was an intact relationship in the GFC case between the mother of the child and her husband. The Fifth District held that the putative father had no cause of action under common law, under Florida statutes, under the Florida State Constitution, and under the United States Constitution. The court held that there was no cause of action under Chapter 742 for a man to petition to establish his paternity to a child born to an intact marriage between the mother and another man because Section 742.011 only provides a cause of action to establish paternity where paternity has not been established by law or otherwise. Paternity is established when a child is born to an intact marriage and the husband and wife recognize the child as theirs. Thus, the husband is the legal father of the child to the exclusion of all others. Furthermore, the court in GFC again affirmed that a scientific determination that a man other than the legal father is the child's biological father is completely irrelevant. The putative father in GFC had no cause of action, but if you contrast him with the putative father in Fernandez, you'll see that the putative father in Fernandez was a different type of putative father than the putative father in GFC. In Fernandez, you had a divorced legal father who had abandoned the subject children, and the putative father had married the mother, had brought other children with the mother, and all of them were living as a family unit with him caring for all of the children. So he was found to have a cause of action under the state of Florida's constitution under its due process clause. That is a limited exception for the biological father. Be aware, as has been explained in Callahan v. Department of Revenue, which is found at 800 Southern 2nd 679, that there is another line of cases. These cases are Daniel v. Daniel at 695 Southern 2nd, 1253, Leffler v. Leffler, 722 Southern 2nd, 941, Gant v. Gant at 716 Southern 2nd, 846, These cases allow a legal father who doubts his paternity of a child born in a marital relationship to establish that he is not the biological father of the child and thereby escape any child support obligations or responsibilities for the child. These cases are difficult to reconcile with Prevett in some regards, but the key uniting factor is that the man who is the legal father initiates the cause of action, and the social policy that his right not to be burdened with a child who is not his trumps the child's best interest. You'll find that quote on page 681 of the Callahan case. However, this concept of disestablishing paternity was present in common law, and it is now codified in Florida law at section 742.18. Section 742.18 sub 1 allows a limited cause of action by a legal father to disestablish paternity. Such a petition must be filed in the court that has jurisdiction over the child support obligation. If the support obligation was established in an administrative proceeding brought by the Department of Revenue, then it must be filed in circuit court in the county where the mother resides and served on her and the Department of Revenue. This petition must include the following. 1, an affidavit executed by the petitioner that there is newly discovered evidence relating to the paternity of the child that has come to his knowledge since the initial paternity determination. 2, the results of paternity testing administered within 90 days prior to the filing of such petition, which excludes the legal father as the biological father, or the legal father must attach an affidavit stating that he did not have access to the child to have scientific testing performed prior to the filing of a petition. And 3, an affidavit executed by the petitioner stating that he is current on all his child support payments or has just cause for any delinquent payments. To grant a petition to disestablish paternity, the court must find all of the following. No exceptions, there must be a finding to each and every one of the following. 1, that there is, in fact, newly discovered evidence relating to the paternity of the child since the initial paternity determination or establishment of child support. 2, that there is scientific paternity testing was properly conducted. 3, the legal father is current on his child support payments or has just cause for any delinquent payments. 4, the petitioner did not become the legal father by adoption. 5, the petitioner did not act to prevent the biological father from asserting parental rights to the child. 6, the child was not conceived during the marriage of the legal father and mother through artificial insemination. And 7, that the child is under 18 years of age at the time of the filing of the petition. The legal father is estopped, and the court shall not set aside paternity where the legal father engaged in any of the following conduct after he learned he was not the biological father of the child. The first action is that he married the mother as the reputed father of the child per Section 742.091 and voluntarily assumed parental obligations and financial support of the child. 2, he executed a sworn voluntary acknowledgement of paternity. 3, he consented to being named on the birth certificate. 4, he offered a written voluntary promise of support, which became the basis of the obligation for the child support. 5, he disregarded written notice from a state agency or court directing him to submit to scientific paternity testing. Or 6, he signed a voluntary acknowledgement of paternity as provided in Section 742.10 sub 4. Under this chapter, like in Daniel v. Daniel, the rendition of an order setting aside paternity does not affect the legitimacy of a child who is born during a lawful marriage. Also, take a look at State Department of Revenue v. Travis at 971 Southern 2nd, 157. This is a first DCA case from 2007, where in a hearing to establish child support, the trial court had ordered paternity testing at the request of a legal father. The first DCA held that this was error to order scientific paternity testing for a legal father, where this legal father had voluntarily acknowledged paternity in an affidavit. The first district found the legal father had not pursued his available legal remedies, one of which being a petition to disestablish paternity, as we just talked about under Section 742.18, and the second being a proceeding to establish that his voluntary acknowledgement had been obtained by fraud or duress under Section 742.1010. Now, after what we've discussed regarding what stops a father from being able to prevail on a petition to disestablish paternity, obviously this father could not prevail on the first cause of action mentioned because he did it through voluntary acknowledgement. He is someone who would have to prove fraud or duress to disestablish paternity to the child. So where does this leave us regarding paternity in dependency court? The purposes of a Chapter 39 proceeding are first the protection, safety, and care of children, and second, the strengthening and support of the family. The purpose of Chapter 39 being well stated in Section 39.001A and B of the Florida statute. There, Chapter 39 states no purpose for establishing paternity. Chapter 39 is concerned with parentage to afford notice and an opportunity to participate in the proceedings to those so entitled. This is seen in 39.502, 39.503, 39.801, and 39.803 Florida statute. Neither the court on its own motion nor any party in a Chapter 39 proceeding has a statutory basis on which to motion for scientific paternity testing. Moreover, Chapter 39 contains no like provision to Section 742.12, where statutorily it is authorized for the court to order scientific testing to determine paternity in an authorized paternity action under that chapter. As discussed before, Chapter 742 is the primary jurisdiction and procedure for the establishment of paternity, and that chapter gives restricted exception to Chapters 39 and 63. In Chapter 39, the narrow statutory authority for the determination of paternity of children is limited to uncontested paternity determinations of children born to single mothers. This is under Section 39.5038, reading it with 742.10. Under 39.5038, 39.503 sub 8, a prospective parent can be considered a parent for the purposes of a dependency proceeding, so long as the other parent does not contest the putative parent's recognition as a parent in the dependency case. If the other parent contests, the prospective parent will be treated as a participant entitled to notice only until a Section 742 proceeding to establish paternity has rendered a final judgment. In a proceeding on termination of parental rights under Chapter 39, a prospective parent has until the adjudicatory hearing on the petition to execute a sworn affidavit of parenthood acknowledging paternity and to become a parent for the purposes of the termination of parental rights proceedings. That authority is found in 39.803 sub 8. Also, ND v. Department of Children and Family Services at 961 Southern 2nd, 1027, gives us some more insight into the dependency court's authority to determine disputed paternity. The third DCA held a trial court has no authority to determine a disputed issue of paternity in a Chapter 39 proceeding. Rather, the correct action is to occur in the family division of the circuit court. Even if the cases are brought together as part of a unified family court, the paternity action should be decided in a family court setting where there is a right to a jury trial, although not a right to counsel. It is not part of the dependency proceeding itself. An identified prospective parent is at most a participant in the proceedings. A prospective parent is not a party. Participants are entitled to receive notice, but not to intervene. See 39.01 sub 49. A prospective father does not have any parental rights in the proceeding until the court establishes or recognizes those rights. There is a case that I don't have the full citation at my fingertips for called BB. Actually, I just found it. BB v. PJM and KM 933 Southern 2nd 57, which is the first CCA case from 2006. You should be aware of this case. During the dependency action where a child was born to an unwed mother and removed to substance exposure at birth, the mother executed a consent to adoption by the maternal grandparents. The unmarried biological father had been acknowledged during the dependency proceedings as the father in the dependency petition, the predispositional study, and the case plan filed by the department. None of the parties, including the mother and the guardian ad litem, objected to this treatment of the unmarried biological father. Therefore, his participation in the dependency proceedings established his paternity, and his consent was required to the adoption. The statute states that paternity or parentage can be established in a court proceeding. It doesn't say established in a court order or in an adjudication. It says established in a court proceeding. And so that is how the first CCA is interpreting the treatment of the putative father in BB to have equated basically to an adjudication of him as the father. So be careful about not objecting if it is not clear that the putative father is in fact the father and that paternity has been appropriately established. Sections 39.5031 and 39.8031 provide special procedures for identifying parents and prospective parents who are entitled to notice the proceedings when the parent's identity or location is unknown. The purpose of this inquiry is for notice only and does not vest any individual with party rights, and especially not parental rights. In the case of Shuler v. Guardian Ad Litem Program, neither the paternity testing showing Shuler was the biological father, nor the legal finding in the dependency case that Shuler was the biological father of T.S. gained him legal fatherhood. Let me explain the facts of Shuler a little further. In Shuler, the mother and biological father were living together when the child was taken into custody. However, the mother was still married to another man at the time, making her husband the legal father. The trial court terminated the legal father's parental rights because he failed to appear for his advisory hearing. The biological father was not allowed to intervene in the termination proceedings because he was not a legal parent. He filed a paternity action after the termination of parental rights was granted. Even after this happened, the trial court allowed the participant, at best, to schedule a prevent hearing. At that hearing, she ordered him to undergo a DNA test. The DNA test confirmed he was the child's biological father, which I don't believe anyone was disputing to begin with. However, because the trial court didn't have authority to adjudicate the paternity, the trial court correctly dismissed the paternity action and placed the child with the department for the purposes of adoption, which was her only options after the termination of parental rights under 39.811, under her dispositional powers found there. The Fifth District held in relevant part that the mother's husband was the legal father of the child until such time as the court has effected a substitution. Because the putative father wait until after the rendition of the termination order, he did not properly preserve any parental interest to the child. So the legal fatherhood of T.S. lied with the mother's husband. This is an example that for marital children, parentage remains with the mother's husband, absent and not until a substitution has been rendered by a court. Even if a putative father files a sworn affidavit of paternity per Section 39.503(8) or 39.803, such an action, even with the consent of the mother, is an insufficient basis for the trial court to adjudicate paternity in a dependency action where paternity has already been established by law. If paternity has not already been established by law, then it is sufficient for the putative father to file the affidavit, and so long as the mother does not contest, he can become the father in the dependency action. But where paternity has already been established by law, the affidavit of paternity does not meet the rigorous requirements established by common law and Florida case law for terminating a legal father's criminal rights and transferring those rights to a biological father, and it certainly is no basis on which to impugn a child's legitimacy. Thus, where paternity is established by law, the trial court has no basis on which to grant a motion to intervene or adjudicate a putative father as a legal father. So let's sum this up. The court, the dependency court, has full authority to make a putative father a parent in a dependency case where paternity has not otherwise been established by law upon the putative father's execution of a sworn affidavit of parenthood and where the mother does not contest his recognition as a parent. A putative father of a marital child must file an action in family court to establish paternity pursuant to the state's constitution's due process clause if he seeks to effect a substitution of the legal father's parental rights. A guardian ad litem must be appointed and the legal father is an indispensable party. A legal father of a marital child seeking to disestablish paternity must file a Section 742.18 petition to disestablish paternity and meet all its rigorous and limited requirements in order to prevail on such a petition. A legal father, due to voluntary acknowledgement seeking to disestablish paternity, has remedy under Section 742.10 sub 4 upon a showing of fraud or duress. So that wraps up Parentage and Dependency Court.